Thank you for listening to the Pursuit Church podcast. This is more than a podcast. Pursuit Church is a movement to connect to Jesus and make a difference. If you need prayer or would like to financially support our mission, reach out to us online at pursuitchurchsa.com. Now grab your headphones and get ready to dive into this week's message.
All right. Y'all ready for a good day in God's house? I'm ready. How many people here like movies? Anybody a big movie fan? I'm a huge movie fan. Huge movie fan. I mean, whether it's in the big screen, in my living room, I just love a great movie. I love a great movie. Now, let me ask you this. What kind of person are you when it comes to movies? At the end of the movie, do you sit through the credits or do you just get up and leave? Okay, I mean, just some different people. I mean, you know what I'm talking about, right? The credits where all those little words come on the screen at the end and they tell you everybody that was in the movie, right? And everything that they did, what their role was, what their part was in the movie, all the way from the leading actor or actress down to something called a key grip. I've always wondered, what does a key grip do? I mean, literally. It says key grip. If you'll watch the credits enough, you'll see this thing called key grip in there. I've always wondered what a key grip is. From the person whose job it was to create the sets, to the one who designed the costumes, from the makeup artist whose job it was to make up the actors, to the person that had to get coffee for the director. Yeah, I guarantee if you look close enough, you'll find director, assistant, I don't know, they call them different things. But someone had to be getting the director coffee, right? They're in the credits. It's amazing. And if you sit through, in different movies have different amounts of credits. But I've seen some of those movies where it's 3 and 4 pages of credits on the screen that come up. It's scrolling 3 and 4. It's amazing how many people it takes to make a movie. Amazing. Lots of people playing their part so that something incredible can be created. Today, here on this Father's Day, I want to bring you this idea about how important your roles are. How important your roles are in God's plan, in God's purpose. Can we talk about that today? Talk about your role. And I'm going to show you here in just a minute the powerful story of a man in Scripture who played and lived his role so well. And there's so many things about how he approached his role, what he did, that we can learn from, that you and I can learn from today. Now, I'm going to start here with men just for a minute. Men, this is for you. Because, you see, you are the spiritual leader of your own life as well as your home. As well as your home. Study after study continues to show the life-changing and positive effects of a man who will love God and submit his life to God and lead his family in the things of God. Study after study after study. In fact, I'm going to give you a few stats right here. Research shows that when children see their father attending church, they are between 66 and 75% more likely to attend church when they become adults. That's huge. That's huge. Studies continue to show that when a man leads his family in his own life spiritually, levels of divorce decrease, levels of depression decrease, and in fact, almost every measurable thing that's good gets better when men lead their own lives and their families. Let me give you a stat on the other end of that. Hear this, men. This is how important your role is. When a father does not come to God's house to worship and is not active in God's church, you got to get this. This about floored me. When a man is not active in coming to church and leading his family, studies show that only one child in 50 will themselves then be active in church and worship. One out of 50, if dad's not leading, And yet we just read a minute ago, when dad does lead, it's 66 to 75% more likely. Men, you have an important role to play. You have an important role to play. I want you to hear that. I don't say that to scare you. I don't say that to condemn you. I say that to challenge you. I want you to know today, men, how important you are. What role you have. How important your role is. Now, the message I'm going to have is really going to be for everybody, but I just want to take a minute in the beginning and talk to my men in here. Because now we're going to look at the story of this man, although his story has application for all of us in terms of your roles. And I think you're going to see that. This man's name that we're going to be talking about today is Joseph. So you say, well, Pastor, if you know anything about the Bible, and even if you don't, let me educate you. There's a couple different Josephs in the Bible, okay? A couple different Josephs. So which Joseph are you talking about, Pastor? Well, let me ask you. When you hear the name Joseph associated with the Bible, which Joseph do you immediately think of? Do you think of the Joseph of the coat of many colors, the one that was thrown in a pit? The Joseph that suffered, he also suffered terrible tragedies, but who in the end becomes a hero for saving his people? Is that the Joseph? When I first said that name, is that the Joseph you thought about? Because that might be the Joseph that comes to mind for a lot of people. Because let's face it, that Joseph's story has a lot in the Bible. A good part of the whole book of Genesis is about his story. Okay? He would be what I would call the Joseph who gets the headlines, right? Kind of like that leading actor in the movie whose name goes first on the credits. That's who that Joseph would be. But, you know, doesn't the world tend to portray things that way? The hero gets the headlines, right? I mean, that's kind of the world we live in. The hero gets the headlines. So for a lot of you, if you, when I said the word Joseph, if you thought, oh yeah, that's the Joseph he's going to talk about, well, you're kind of already in that, you know, way of thinking. It's like, yeah, well, God, it's got to be that Joseph. He did so much. But I'm here to remind you today that God doesn't work that way. You see, God's word says that he is no respecter of persons. Well, Pastor, what does that mean, no respecter of persons? That means that God values your role no matter what it is. Not only that, but God values your various roles equally, because everything that God gives you to do is important to him. Everything. There's not some more important. No, every role that God gives you, he considers important. That's what it means. He's no respecter of persons. The Joseph that is found in the book of Genesis, the superstar Joseph, the headliner Joseph, is not the Joseph I'm going to talk to you about today. I want to show you some lessons that we can learn from the Joseph, who is the earthly father of the Savior of the world. Here on Father's Day, I want to talk about that. Joseph, the Joseph who called Jesus son before he called him Savior. Think about that for a minute. Think about that for a minute. Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus, was a simple carpenter, while the other Joseph was once a ruler of Egypt. Same name, different roles, but God valued their roles equally. You got to get that. God didn't love the Joseph in Egypt more than he loved the carpenter Joseph. He didn't value Joseph of Egypt more than he valued Joseph, the earthly father of God. He valued them all the same, because God is no respecter of persons. Now, if you look at the pages of Scripture, you'll actually find very little about Joseph. Very little is written about him. But what is written shows us and gives us some very powerful lessons that I want to share with you today. The first lesson that we learn from the life of Joseph is this: obedience over comfort. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. We're going to be in verses 18 through 21 and then verses 24 and 25. This is what it says. Everybody there? You getting there? Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And when Joseph woke from the sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded. We'll say that again. He did as the angel of the Lord commanded. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, a little context here. The word betrothed that's used here kind of meant the same thing that we would say as engaged. But here's what you have to understand about the culture then. In engagement, you were as good as married. Okay, you were basically as good as married. Okay, even if the official ceremony hadn't taken place, once you were engaged to somebody, you were as good as married. Now, let's be real. When Joseph first heard the news, his initial thought was not to stay with Mary, right? That was what he was thinking. Because having a child out of wedlock back then was, well, shameful and scandalous, straight up. So at first, his plan was to divorce her quietly, which, if we're honest, would have been tough. No doubt, would have been uncomfortable, but not nearly as uncomfortable as what God called him to do, which is actually to stay married or to marry Mary and keep her as a wife and raise this son who he knew was not his biologically. That was way more uncomfortable than just divorcing her. Okay? And it says that Joseph was considering, when he was considering what to do, God sent him the answer in the form of this angel. And once the angel gave Joseph the answer about what to do, then Joseph had to make a choice. See, he was thinking one thing. This is what I think is right. This is what I think I should do. And now all of a sudden God shows up and says, no, this is what I'm calling you to do. So how many of us, you know, there's times in our life we know what we think we want to do. And sometimes, by the way, even with what we would consider good motives, right? Mary, think about it. Joseph's motive was to actually try and protect Mary, right? So it's not like he had a bad motive, but at the same time, he had a choice to make. When that angel showed up, he could choose obedience or he could choose his own solution. I want to give you an analogy of another person in Scripture who faced a very similar situation and chose something different. King Saul, in the Old Testament, there was a group of people that God called Saul's army to go in and completely annihilate. Not only completely, he said, I want you to kill every single one of them, and I also want you to kill all their animals, camels, donkeys, it's all listed. God was very clear. He spoke to the prophet Samuel, to King Saul, this is what you're supposed to do when you go into battle. So that was what God told him to do. Well, Saul shows up to battle, and the first thing he does is he lets a bunch of these people go. And the reason, if you look in Scripture, he says, well, they were kind to Israel in the past, so I'm going to spare some of these people. His own reasoning, hey, it's a good idea, right? I mean, come on, they were kind to Israel at one time. So I'm just going to go ahead and let some of them go. Well, and then what he does is he goes to all the animals and he said, well, I'm not going to kill them all. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pick out the best ones and I'm going to go give them as a sacrifice to God. It's okay. I mean, even though I know God told me to kill them all, but no, my plan's better. I'm going to take the best of these animals. And you know, God's just going to appreciate this. Woo! My plan is good. God's just going to appreciate the fact that I'm going to sacrifice these animals to him. You know what God's reaction to that was? Not good. Not good. He sent Saul, or he sent Samuel back to Saul and said, this is where this scripture comes in 1 Samuel. It says, God wants obedience over sacrifice. You got to get that today. God's calling us to be obedient. I know you may have some reasons why you don't want to do things, or you think your way's better. Or, hey, come on now. God honors obedience over our sacrifice, or what we think is sacrifice. And so what you see here is Joseph was obedient and was blessed. Saul was disobedient, and it was actually the beginning of his downfall. It was that incident that showed God that Saul could not be trusted as a king. That one incident, his disobedience, even though he invented in his mind, oh, this is a good reason for me to be disobedient. No, there's not. There's not. Oh, it's getting quiet now. Oh, but I'm telling you, God honors our obedience. God honors our obedience. He's calling us to be obedient. He's calling us to be obedient. So here's the question for us. Are there areas in our life where God has made something very clear and we decide to not do it? God's word says do this, and we either don't do it or we do it our own way. You know, God calls everybody to serve in his church and to serve others, and yet we have some people that literally just refuse to serve. I mean, I'm just keeping it real. God is very clear. He's looking for cheerful givers. Some people give grudgingly or not at all. That's an act of disobedience every time we do those kind of things. God commands us in Hebrews and in many other places that we are to meet together as a body of believers. I understand people get sick, vacation. I'm just saying big picture here, right? God calls us to meet together. And yet we have so many people in our churches that don't think that's a real command. It's optional. I'll show up if I want to. Well, that's an act of disobedience, right? God called Joseph to obedience when he also, catch this, oftentimes the things that God is asking us to do don't make sense. I get it. Believe me, I guarantee you it didn't make sense to Joseph to marry Mary and raise this boy that wasn't his. That did not make any sense in the natural. In fact, we already know he was thinking the complete opposite. He was thinking, my thoughts are, hey, I'm just going to do what I think's best, divorce her. So we already know that he didn't think that was a smart thing to do. And there's things in our life when God's just going to say, do it. When we planted this church in 2020, right in the middle of COVID, that did not make any sense. It did not make any sense, but we did it anyway. Sometimes we're going to need to do the things that the Lord is calling us to do, whether they make sense or not. Is there anybody, I mean, in your own life, are there things that you can remember that God's told you to do that at the time you're going like this, but God's going like this? Hey, think about how it worked out for you. Those times that you listened to him and actually did what he told you to do, I'm going to guess the outcome was one way. And we can probably all think about times when God told us to do something and we didn't do it. And I can think of times in my life that didn't end so well, right? God honors our obedience. God honors our obedience. When you obey God, he will make a way. When you obey God, he will make a way. His word promises that. He provided what Joseph needed, and he'll do the same for you and I. When we obey, he will make a way. All right, here's another lesson from the life of Joseph. Love looks like sacrifice. Love looks like sacrifice. Now, to begin with, Joseph sacrificed his reputation when he decided to keep Mary as his wife and raise Jesus as his son. His very reputation he was sacrificing when he made that decision. His love for God and his love for his family most certainly cost him something. Did it not? I mean, it had to have cost him something. When Jesus was still an infant, Joseph had another dream where he was told to leave everything behind and go to Egypt. Read the story of the birth, and some of you remember that story. In a dream, he was told, nope, Herod is going to want to try and kill Jesus, so you need to get you and your family to Egypt. Well, I want you to realize when he did that, he sacrificed his home. He sacrificed his carpentry business. He sacrificed everything that he had built up to that point to be obedient to God. He sacrificed all those things. And then finally, when he did come back, when they did come back from Egypt, the easier thing for them to do would have been to relocate near Jerusalem, because that was the center. That was their life would have been a lot more convenient. But that's not what he did. He went to this little town called Nazareth, which Nazareth had a very bad reputation. Had a very bad reputation in terms of one part of scripture says, can anything good come from Nazareth? I mean, that's how despised this. But the reason he went there was because it was going to be easier to protect Jesus in Nazareth than it was in Jerusalem. Do you see? He sacrificed his comfort to do what was right. Joseph loved God and he loved his family. And one of the greatest examples of his love was how he was willing to sacrifice for them. Now look, God may never ask you to leave your home for a foreign country, but he is very likely going to call on you to sacrifice your reputation to stand up for his kingdom. Let me say that again. You have to be ready. I have to be ready to sacrifice what people think of us, to sacrifice our reputations, because we serve the King of Kings. He is our master. He is the one that we will stand before when this life is over. We won't be standing in front of a president of the United States or an elected official or our next door neighbor. We won't be standing in front of any of those people. We have a responsibility to be witnesses for Jesus. And sometimes that's going to cost us. We have to be willing to sacrifice what other people think because we love God. So let me ask you this. Are there things that you're willing to leave behind that are holding you back right now? Are there things that you're willing to leave behind so that you can go where God's calling you to be? Because here's a fundamental truth. Maybe some of you have heard this. And if not, I'm going to introduce it to you today. There is nothing, and I'm going to say categorically 100% to this statement. There is nothing of significance that has ever been accomplished without sacrifice. Nothing. Not in your life. Not you. You show me anybody that has had any kind of success, any kind of good thing happen, and I will show you back in their history where there was sacrifice for them to get there. How about your own life? Is there anything good in your life that you have gotten without sacrifice? Anybody, I challenge you right now, is there anything you have gotten without sacrifice? No. Because it's a fundamental truth. You see, Jesus sacrificed. Joseph sacrificed. And you and I are going to be called to sacrifice some things. Some, for us, it might be our time, our talents, our resources, our treasure, blood, sweat, and tears. I mean, just know that sacrifice is part of the walk. It's part of the process. And I read this over and over and over again, and I see it. One of the biggest problems we have in the church is we've gotten too comfortable. We have too much comfort. If you went back to the book of Acts, the model of the church that we're supposed to be about, you won't find a bunch of comfortable people. You'll find a bunch of people that were on mission for Jesus and who sacrificed, some of them with their very lives. In fact, all of the original apostles paid for their commitment to Christ with their very lives except John. Only one. Sacrifice is fundamental. But what is, other scriptures talk about this. Sacrifice builds character. Sacrifice builds hope. There's things that come with sacrifice that are beautiful. But we've gotten so common, especially here in America. I'm just calling out our own country for a minute. We are the richest country in the world. We are the most comfortable country in the world. And we are on our way to becoming one of the least Christian countries in the world if the trend continues. And one of those reasons is because we've gotten too comfortable. We come to church and think it's some show that we're just supposed to be entertained by. No. We come here to encounter a living God and a transformative Savior so that our lives will be different, not comfortable. I hope someone's getting that today. We don't come here to be entertained. We love to sing. We love to worship. All that's great. But that's not why we come. We come to be changed. We come to be transformed. We come to bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ and his Father. Yes, that's why we come to church. That's why we come to church. And Joseph's life is such a beautiful example of that for us. How he sacrificed for what roles he was given. And that leads me to the final lesson that I want to share about Joseph's life. And it's this. That Joseph showed us what it looks like to embrace your role. He embraces it. Go with me to Colossians chapter 3. We'll be in verses 23 and 24. I wonder if you've ever thought about this scripture in the context I'm about to bring it to you. This is what it says. Whatever you work at, do it with all of your heart as working for the Lord. Not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ that you are serving. One of the most powerful parts of the life of the story of Joseph is how he embraced the roles with his whole heart. With his whole heart. The scripture tells us in other places that Jesus was known as the carpenter's son. Well, what that tells you is, if you go back historically, typically the father would pass down his trade to his son. Well, since Jesus was known as the carpenter's son, we have to believe that Joseph taught him how to be a carpenter. So Joseph embraced his role as a teacher first. He embraced his role as a teacher. And when God called Joseph to move out, not once, but twice, Joseph was embracing his role as a protector. That's why he did it. And then when Joseph took Jesus to the temple, you remember that when he was 12? Well, the reason he did that is because the father was required to take their son to the temple at 12. So Joseph was also acting as the religious leader, as a spiritual leader in his home. I wonder if by that time Joseph was maybe sore. I mean, he knew what the angel told him. So I'm sure in the back of his mind, he kind of knew, yeah, he's supposed to be the Savior. But think about it. If he really had completely embraced, he might have even thought, well, he's a Savior. I don't need to go. I don't need to do this. No, obedience. Obedience. It's the reason. Oh, let's go on this. It's the reason Jesus was baptized. Did Jesus need to be baptized? Absolutely not. The reason he was baptized was to teach us obedience. He was obedient to his Father. Jesus went on to say in numerous places, I only do what the Father tells me to do. Jesus himself was a perfect example of obedience that eventually led to a cross. And Joseph was emulating his son by being obedient, by taking his son to the place that was required for him to go. And if you'll remember, it was really at that, think about this, because Joseph was obedient, because Joseph took the role of spiritual head, something very significant happened. You remember when Jesus went to the temple? That's kind of Jesus's, what I would call his first coming out party, right? His eventual coming out party was when he made the speech, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I've come to set the captives free. But that didn't happen until he was 30. At 12, this is when the world started to get an idea. When Jesus said, hey, he got lost, right? He didn't really get lost. He knew where he was. No one else did. But what he said was, why y'all worried? Don't you know I'm about my Father's business? So that was like an inkling right there. That was his first announcement. That, okay, I am who the angel said I am. But imagine if Joseph had never taken him to the temple. Could Jesus have got there on his own? Sure. I'm sure he could have, because prophecy had to be fulfilled. But Joseph got to be a part of that prophecy because he was obedient. Joseph got to contribute. He got to be a part of it because he fulfilled his role as the spiritual leader of his home. Powerful things happen when we're obedient to what the Lord calls us to do and when we lead. You see, Joseph wasn't worried about the roles that someone else had because he gave his whole heart to the roles that he did have. You got to hear that again. Joseph wasn't worried about the roles that other people had because he was fully committed and wholehearted in the roles he was given. You know, we live in a world today where everyone's chasing a role. Oh, I want to be in a role where I'm visible. I want to be in a role where I'm getting notoriety. I want to be in a role when I'm famous. We live in this celebrity culture, quite frankly, within the church and outside the church. We have this celebrity mentality, superstar, movie star mentality. I want the role that shines the light on me. We got so many people chasing after those roles because we think that if we just get that role, our life will somehow be more fulfilled. Our life will be somehow have more meaning or be better. That's a life in the pit of hell. I'm going to say it again. If you're chasing a role thinking that role is going to fix something in your life or make you better or make you something, no. God's no respecter of persons. What we got to do is learn to embrace wholeheartedly the roles that God has given us and not worry about the role someone else has. God called you to be the father that you are. God called you to be the husband that you are. God called you to the workplace that you're in. God called you to be the neighbor that you are. God's word, as we just read, says that we are to work at everything we do as if we are working for who? Jesus. Jesus. When we show up to our job, we're working for Jesus. When we show up and work in nursery or in kids' elementary, we're working for Jesus. When we show up at the door to greet people or play on this stage or do anything we do, Colossians said we are to do it as if we are working for Jesus Christ himself. That's why we do what we do. That's our motivation. That's our motivation. When you teach your children to love Jesus, you're embracing one of the most important roles you have as a parent. When you are an example to those in your workplace, you're embracing your role as an ambassador for Christ. When you work diligently at your job, you're embracing your role as a provider. When you change a diaper or prepare a meal or help somebody move or pray or teach kids or greet someone at the door, you are embracing a role that God has given you. Do not minimize that. Those roles are every bit as important as the president of the United States in worldly terms. But God doesn't work that way. He's not a respecter of persons. Every role you have to him is important. And what you do in those roles is important. That's all that God cares about. He doesn't care about, he literally doesn't care about the role you have. What he cares about is what you do in the role that you have. Once heard it said, you know, talking about God's will. Well, God's will is kind of whatever sometimes. There's a lot of different paths God can take you down. What he cares about is what you do in those paths, how you handle those things. That's what he cares about. So sometimes we get so wrapped up in, well, should I go to this? Should I do that job? And I'm not saying we shouldn't pray about things, but I'm telling you, God can bless you in all kinds of different jobs. God can bless you in all kinds of different places. What it has to do is right here, here and here. This is what it has to do with as to whether you're going to be blessed in those areas. God can bless you anywhere. He literally can bless you anywhere. Let me say it again. God is no respecter of persons. You see, Joseph received the same reward that many more famous fathers, like Abraham or Moses, they're way more famous fathers in the Bible than Joseph, but you know what? He got the same reward they did. The exact same reward that they did. God's not a celebrity God. He doesn't care. In fact, it's kind of funny. You know, when Moses died, there was not a lot written. You know what God said? My servant Moses is gone. Next up. That's literally what the word says. Joshua, you're next. There wasn't this glowing, 18 chapter thing. Oh man, Moses was so great and he did. It's not that God didn't appreciate it, but God's no respecter of persons, right? Joshua's role was no different than Moses' role. They ended up having the same role of leading these people, and God looked at them the same. And he looks at you and I the same. You don't have to be a movie star. You don't have to be a headliner to fulfill the roles that God has given you. Because there are no celebrity roles in heaven. You know, the only people in heaven are people that love the Lord Jesus Christ and accepted him as Savior, and people that fulfilled their roles. They're godly roles, right? They're godly roles. Those are the only people that are in heaven. And within heaven, I think we preached about this a while ago, there's no distinction. Moses does not have a different reward ultimately than you and I get when it comes to salvation. See, because Jesus was perfectly obedient, salvation is ours if we simply grab onto it, right? But there's a difference. See, that's the obedience of Jesus is what gets us into heaven. Our obedience to God determines a lot about our journey here, though. So you got to get that distinction. God still wants your obedience. Yeah, Jesus took care because of his obedience. We have a chance to live in heaven. That's awesome. But so many people stop there. I said, well, Paul talked about this. He just kind of say, well, I got my grace. I'm good. So I can just keep doing whatever I want and get more grace. No, Paul said, God forbid that. That's not our attitude. Oh, just because I'm in heaven, just because my place is there. That's awesome. But God still expects our obedience in here, right? In heaven, we won't need obedience because we'll be done, right? We need obedience here to keep us out of trouble and to keep us focused on God. Right? So I just want to, Stephen, if you'll come, I just want to encourage us today that embrace the roles that God has given you, whether that's as a friend, as a husband, as a wife, as a child, as an employee. We all play different roles. And your life is way more important than a movie. Way more important than a movie. Okay? Because here's what's going to happen. At the end of our life, there's not going to be credits rolling on the screen. You know what's going to happen? It says there's a book that's going to be opened. It says there's a book, the Lamb's Book of Life. There's a number of books written or talked about in Scripture. One is for those, your name, it won't be rolling on the screen. Your name's going to be in a book that says you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I hope you get that. It also says that everything you've ever done, good, bad, every role you've been in, everything you've ever done is going to be examined before the Lord. Your role matters. Say, my role matters. Come on. My role matters. Yeah. And in that book, you're going to find a much greater treasure than names scrolling on a screen. I hope you receive that today. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the good, good Father that you are to us. How you love us, how you lead us, how you protect us. Father, will you just help us to live out what we've learned today? What we've found in your word through the life of your servant Joseph, the man who cared for your son here on earth from an earthly perspective, God, help us take the lessons that we've learned from his life today and apply them in ours so that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can learn how to choose obedience over our comfort. Help us, God, to remember that real love for you and for others will always require sacrifice. And God, we pray that you give us the strength to do that when it's needed. And God, whatever role we're in, whatever you have us doing in life, help us to embrace that role with all of our hearts. Help us to truly live and to do everything as if we are working for the King of Kings, Jesus Christ himself. Because, Father, that is the desire of our hearts. We love you, God, and we pray all of this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now listen with every eye.